If you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Galatians. So Galatians, chapter 5, if you would join me there. And again, if you have a bulletin, there is a place to write down scripture references you may want to take with you today on the back. And the cards in front of you we use for prayer requests, for questions, praises. So if you have, that's a way to get in contact with me. So please take advantage of that if you're here. For those of you who are online joining us, if you go to the website, CLM Family, and this is for everyone. It's there in the bulletin. It's just the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org. There is an email link there, and I usually try to check those early every morning. So if you have a prayer request, please send it, or a question, or praise. And the website is there as a resource for you as well with recent messages. Even notes from my messages, usually for the last week or two, are on there if you'd like to see those or to review those, okay? Galatians chapter 5, and if you would join me as we make this confession together. If you're still turning, the words are on the screen, that's fine. If you agree, I just ask you to join me as we make this confession. Our confidence is not in our ability, but in the Lord's ability to speak to us by His Spirit through His Word today. So would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5:16 is kind of a theme verse for today. Before I read it, let me give you a little background to last week. I started a three-series message last week addressing the three foes that every Christian faces. If you got saved on Easter, you'll have to battle these three foes. If you've been a Christian walking with the Lord for 60 years, you still have to battle these three. Last week, we looked at the first one, which is a world system that is opposed to God and how we can have victory over that world system. Today, we'll look at a second area. It's not so much out there. It's a little closer to home. The Bible says this, Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the Bible uses a term like flesh or old man to describe our natural human tendency towards sin. Some translations say the sinful nature. One says the self-life. We have, if you're a parent, I won't even have to go that far. I started to say, if you're a parent, you know that you had to train your sons and daughters to maybe have good manners or be respectful or whatever it was. That just doesn't always happen automatically. But you don't have to look to a son or daughter. You don't have to look beyond the mirror because we all have some of those tendencies. Now, this might get real quiet. No, I'm just playing. But we all have that issue. Please believe me that we're all in this boat together. That's what it speaks of when it says you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, walk means a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's not just take a step in the Spirit. It's walk in the Spirit. It's a lifestyle of yielding ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is victory today. I want to say that. We can overcome the sinful nature by living in the power of God's Holy Spirit. But I want to emphasize this. It's the only way. It's the only way to overcome our own natural tendency towards sin. That's why he says you got to walk in the Spirit in order to do it. And then if you drop down to verse 25, the Bible, actually, you know what? Let me read verse 17. Verse 17 says this, for the flesh, that sinful nature, lusts or wars or desires against the Spirit, speaking of God's Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fights and wars against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. We can have the right heart and still fall short at times because of that sinful nature that we all contend with. And there is a battle constantly. Some of you heard the analogy of which two dogs are fighting, which one's gonna win? The one you feed more. That's exactly right, all right? Then verse 25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I won't take the time to read all of the verses in between there, but there is a contrast between what are called the works, plural, of the flesh. And that's a sordid list, if you want to check it out, from idolatry, immorality, outbursts of wrath. That's manifestations of the sinful nature. And in contrast to works, the Bible says is the fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of love, joy, peace, all the way to self-control. It's like one cluster. We don't have to pick and choose. They all come together as a fruit of God's Holy Spirit, but that comes by walking in the Spirit and staying in close fellowship with Him. Now, if we are born again, if God's Spirit has drawn us to repentance, that means we've turned from unbelief in our way. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Repentance is turning back to the one who loves us and suffered and died on the cross for our sins, came alive on the third day and is now seated on high. When we are drawn to that truth and call on Jesus as Lord to forgive our sins, He forgives us, grants us the very righteousness of God, and His Holy Spirit lives in us to help us do God's will. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Would you say walk in the Spirit? Would you tell somebody next to you with a big smile, walk in the Spirit? I said last week that God gave us illustrations in the examples of Israel of the battles that we face in our modern times, in the New Testament times. Last week, we saw how God had freed His people from slavery, and to go into the promised land, the first city that they had to overcome was Jericho, and Jericho was a picture of the world system. Today, we'll look at the next city, but God said this about that first city. All the spoils are mine here. Don't take anything for yourself on this one. Then He says, let me give you the scripture. If you want to stay there in the New Testament, I'll be back to join you. But let me read this to you. We can put it on the screen. Joshua 7, if you want to write it down. Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Verse 2, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. So they went up, and here's what they said. They came back and said, look, we don't need all the army. We just saw God supernaturally push down walls around a city. Just send a few thousand, we're good. And you go, send a few thousand men, and people are killed and they're defeated and have to run back. If you understand what I'm saying, with the tail tucked between their legs, like the dog that was beat up, running back. And this is what Joshua said in verse 7. Because they tore their clothes, they fell on the ground, they're crying out to God. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? It's amazing how we can charge God with so much that He didn't do. God was not the problem. God wants His people to sin. Oh, to have victory, to not sin. And He made them. I'm glad y'all would have corrected me on that, right? God wants His people to have victory then and now, and He's made a way. The problem wasn't God. The problem was sin within. There was sin in the camp. And often, you know, my background with what was worldly was like a lot of outer things. So we said, you know, we don't go here and we don't watch that and we don't, you know, we're not all tatted up and we're not worldly. And we may think we win the battle at Jericho, but when we come to Ai If we got the same immorality in our heart that we condemn in others in the world, and the same greed and idolatry and the same pride and selfishness and resentment that the world has, we might think we win at Jericho, but we can be defeated at Ai by the enemy within. Do you see why we had to walk in the spirit? So, thank God he had a plan. If I could emphasize anything this morning, this is one truth I want to emphasize. Brothers and sisters, please, and I'm putting myself at the head of the line on this, let us never underestimate the power of our sinful nature to pull us towards sin. That's what they did. Oh, we don't need everything to, let's just take it lightly. We got this, we're good. No. We need all the resources God grants to us. What did Jesus say in Matthew 26:41? He said, watch and pray, lest you fall. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? The flesh is weak. There's another scripture, if you want to write it down. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So let me give you this real quick. How do we walk in the spirit? If we have to walk in the spirit in order to have victory over the flesh, or the old man, so to speak, how do we walk in the spirit? And I had no idea I was gonna do this, but as I started studying this week and preparing, it actually could be presented in the same format that I did last week, because it's still through Jesus. Just like victory over the world system, it's the same way we have victory over the flesh. So here is the first one. In fact, would you turn to Romans chapter 6 with me if you're there in Galatians, if you just go back just a few books to Romans chapter 6. And I could summarize them like this. Receive, renew, and reach out. Receive, renew, and reach out. So here is the first one. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, the Bible says this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I love that phrase. It's the title of a devotion that I just finished. Walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, our sinful nature, that old part, the sinful part, was crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. How do we walk in the Spirit? First of all, we receive Christ's victory. We receive Christ's victory. Three times in this chapter, the Bible says we have been freed from sin. Freed. It's great to be free and not feel like we're bound by anything, but to be free. The Lord wants his people free that we could worship and serve him. And that phrase in verse 6 says that the old man might be done away with does not mean that it's eliminated. It means to be defeated or rendered inoperative. I learned it kind of like a business that's closed. If you ride around some areas, you might see a building there where a business is closed. We have the potential to go open that business back up, but God says, don't do that. That's done away with. I broke the power of your sinful nature to dominate and control you by dying for your sins on the cross. That's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the cross, just like the power Jesus had at the cross to break the power of this world system to dominate us and control us. It's the same cross of Jesus and the same faith in him to trust him to have victory over our sinful tendencies. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Would you say that with me? We walk by faith, not by sight. I've asked myself a soul-searching question. Do I really believe God's word? Now, if you were to ask me, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God's word? Yes. But personally, do I really believe that Jesus broke the power of this world to control me and my flesh to dominate and control me by the power of his cross and the power of his Holy Spirit? That's why we got to live it out every day. We got to live it out every day. Here's what God told Joshua to do in Joshua chapter 8. Again, receiving, because we have to, it's a battle of faith, receive. The Bible says this, Joshua 8:1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people. Would you say all the people? Do you see what I'm saying? We shouldn't take the flesh lightly. We better use all the resources God grants to us through his word and by his spirit. He said, take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. And then here again, he says this, see, I have, past tense, given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. This time, the people believed God and they did what he told them to do. And again, see has to be with the eye of faith because they didn't see it in the natural. But God said, if you see it because I say it, you'll walk it out. If you see it by faith because I say it, you just trust me, believe my word, I will lead you into that victory. They did what God said and brought the victory. And God said, this time y'all keep the stuff for yourself. A man lost his life and caused others to lose because they were defeated initially at Ai because he gave that part to God, or took it from God, and should have just waited one little battle and he could have had it. This is another truth that's so important. Our sin affects others. Our sin affects others in, if nothing else, influence, by example, maybe discouragement, hurt, whatever it may be. So that's why we want to walk in victory, walk in the Spirit. Would you please say that with me? Walk in the Spirit. And then the second. So how do we walk in the Spirit? First of all, receive Christ's victory. Second, renew our mind. Renew our mind. And the scripture in that is Romans chapter 6, still just two verses, and then over in chapter 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says this. Likewise, you also reckon, that means consider. Consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me keep reading. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Y'all want to make this confession? Would you say this with me? Would you say, sin shall not have dominion over me? For I am not under law, but under grace. Then he says this in chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let me read you that in the New Living Translation. I like how it's worded. It says it this way. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So to walk in the Spirit must, man, constantly. We have to keep putting off the sinful thoughts and keep dwelling on the godly thoughts. That's the only way we're going to walk in the Spirit. Receive Christ's victory and then renew my mind. I've got to keep putting off. Let's say I've battled pornography. Well, by faith, I receive the victory that Jesus purchased at the cross. But then I have to really go through that process of renewing my mind and getting those images away and replacing them with godly and pure thoughts. That's a process to live it out. So it's putting off that old, pushing it away, but I got to dwell on it and meditate on it and confess it in order to walk it out in the Spirit. I love this phrase where it says in chapter 8, verse 6, it says to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, God, by God's Spirit and grace, he empowers us to live a resurrected life. I like to say it that way because I believe the crucified life is like this. You can't go there. You can't touch that. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's a lot of the don'ts. And there's a place for that. But anytime there is a death in Christ, it's always followed by a resurrection. And God wants us to live a resurrected life. So I get to do this and I get to do that. I'm living a resurrected life. I consider myself dead to that sin, but I consider myself alive to God. And I'm walking in newness of life. That's what it is to walk in the Spirit. Don't you know that God loves us and he's made a way for us to have victory, but we have to live it out. So to walk in the Spirit, we have to receive Christ's victory by faith, and we have to renew our minds. And last scripture in Joshua, let me just give you those two verses if you want to write them down. Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 and 32, the Bible says this, because after they won that victory, kind of like over the flesh there at Ai, it says, Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel, and that was a place of worship. They called the people to worship, and then verse 32, and there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. So God, Joshua called the people back to worship the Lord and reminded them of God's word, because God's full blessings come from obedience to his word. Before I give you this last one, again, receive Christ's victory, renew our mind, and then reach out to others. Some of you remember the old story about the boy who sold the preacher a lawnmower and it wouldn't start? So the preacher went back to the boy and said, I can't get this mower to start. It won't work. And the boy said, well, that's because you have to cuss at it. And the preacher said, I'm a preacher. I don't cuss. And besides, it's been so many years since I've used any curse words, I don't even remember any. And the little boy said, well, you just keep pulling on that rope. It'll come back to you. How many know it'll come back to you? Yeah, buddy. So to walk in the Spirit, we have to believe God that Jesus really did break the power of our sinful nature to dominate and control us. I got to deal with it every day, but I don't have to be a slave to it because of Jesus and the cross and God's Spirit. So I receive by faith, but then I got to do the daily work of renewing my mind. I've got to think godly thoughts or I'm going to be pulled in the wrong direction. And then finally, if you want to write this down, so receive Christ's victory, renew our mind, and then reach out to others. So to walk in the Spirit, receive Christ's victory, renew our mind, and reach out to others. So receive, renew, reach out. And I want to read these verses from the book of Jude. It's just a one-chapter book from the New Living Translation. It really, to me, clarifies it. Because we want to love God and we want to love people enough to reach out to them with the life-changing message of the good news of Jesus. That just as God in his mercy brought someone in our path to share the good news with us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could know our Father and live a life of blessing right here and then get to be with him forever. It's not just that he saves us for heaven, he saves us to use us right here too. Because this is the place where we can lay up treasure in heaven and impact all of eternity. But we have to be fully committed. We must be fully committed to the Lord so that in the process of reaching out, we don't compromise our faith and join others in the sin. That's why we have to be wise. If I've struggled with alcohol in my past, I don't need to go to the bar every night to try to reach my old buddies. I can wait for them somewhere else and meet them and try to bring them to the Lord. So this is how it words it in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It says, you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. The New King James talks about hating the garment spotted by flesh, stained with flesh. So we've got to be wise, want to reach out in love, but we don't want to compromise our faith in the process. And some sadly have maybe gone down that route. Let's draw people to the Lord rather than drawing us back in. We don't have to get back into that to reach people. And there are plenty who can prove it. I was just reading a testimony last night of David Wilkerson. He pastored a small rural church in Pennsylvania and went and his ministry has gone around the world. He never had to take drugs and join a gang to reach gangs and drug takers and dealers and leaders, he shared the gospel. And God changed lives. One of those was a boy who his mom didn't want him. She would lock him up in a closet, not feed him and give him water. Told him, I don't want you. Both his parents were into the occult. And one day, just as a little boy in Puerto Rico, went up in a tree and put a rope around his neck. And was just going to take his life as a little boy. And his older brother happened to see him and stopped him. And he grew up in New York with such bitterness and hatred and anger in his heart that he joined gangs and became the leader of the Mau Maus. And David Wilkerson went to reach him. And Nicky Cruz threatened to kill him. And David said, you can cut me up in 1,000 pieces and lay me on the streets, but every piece is going to still say, I love you. And now Nicky Cruz, I've seen him several times, is in his 80s, and he's preaching the gospel. And now has a worldwide ministry himself. That's the power of, we don't sin to reach people. We draw them to the one who saves us from our sins. So to reach out, and I'll just close with this. I want to give you one last verse, verse 24. We can put it on the screen, still there in Jude 1. Would you please hear me in this? I know it can be discouraging when you feel like you keep repeating the same sin over and over. Maybe somebody can relate to what I'm saying. But I want to encourage you with this. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be quick to repent and receive God's forgiveness, but stay close to the Lord. Jesus is our confidence and strength, not our human ability. Let's keep our hope in him and him alone. And it's in staying close to him, even though we fall, if we keep getting up and we keep walking with the Lord, it can be part of the growing process rather than turning away from the Lord and giving up. Let's not make peace with sin. Let's keep peace with the Lord and keep walking. That's why I love that phrase that says that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Don't you know that the more life and peace of God we experience, the less some temptations will pull us toward the flesh? Because I'm not looking there to have that need met. I'm walking in it by the grace of God with life and peace that he provided through his cross and resurrection. That's walking in the spirit. It's walking in a resurrected life. So I want to encourage you with this. Jude 1:24. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away. Thank God for the cross of Jesus and the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Would you say all glory to God? Would you say God is able? He is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. That's one of those amazements to me. When if I stand before a holy God one day, and I believe I will, cleansed by the perfect sacrifice and the blood of Jesus, that all sin has been removed, and one day, because of his grace, I can stand before him like I never sinned, I won't be standing. I'll be on my face thanking him and worshiping him. Thank God he's good. Thank God he's able. We can walk in the spirit, even though we stumble along the way. Let's just keep getting up. The Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises up again. Jesus doesn't kick us out. He'll help us up and keep us going and lead us into victory. Would you say walk in the Spirit? And I want to close with this. Just will you think about this now? Think about where you can maybe apply this scripture and how you can live it out. Even this week, I want to ask you, would you do this? Would you think on and even confess Galatians 5:16 every day this week? Let it become part of your spirit. Get in your heart and mind. Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill. You can even make it personal. I like to do that sometimes. Walk in the spirit and I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When that person's getting on your nerves, walk in the spirit and I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you see that image, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. Father, I pray right now that you would just help us to believe you for the victory that you purchased through the cross and resurrection. Lord, I ask that you would just draw us right now in how we can take this truth and live it out. I thank you that you won the victory for us. Help us to believe. I pray that we would see it by faith. Ultimately, I know you do it for your own glory and honor. That's what we desire. No self-confidence where we think we've just conquered everything. Let us be Jesus' confidence and the power of the gospel in your spirit. So Lord, help us. Meet us in our point of weakness and let your grace overflow that we could just be living testimonies for you, flaws and all, that others could be drawn to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just sing this chorus before we have the children come back in? Let's thank the Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. You washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God,
the Lord of heaven,
the Lord.
Just sing us through one more time. And the children, if you want to bring them in for the drawing at the end, that's fine. Let's just sing it together. Let's tell the Lord thank you.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced.
We'll see those one day.
Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.